away every day by the explosion of this platform that the glory does not belong to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty.
And welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Lauren Witzke, filling in for Stu today. He should hopefully be back tomorrow. We'll be great. We'll be very grateful to see his return. I know I will. So you may remember the story about Bill Sullivan. He was a gentleman who got himself into the health official board out in Chelan Douglas County in Washington State. Now, we know that Washington State was one of the first states in the country to start implementing quarantine facilities and quarantine camps, per se. I believe it was fought off. However, there was a father who decided to get involved himself. Like Stu has said before, there is no plan to save us. We have to save ourselves. Now, Bill Sullivan has returned to give an update on what is going on out in Washington with the health official boards, and he joins us now. Bill, if you could give a little wrap up of what you spoke about the last time you were on the Stu Peters Show. I know that you pretty much got yourself into the health official board so you could fight for other parents, so you could fight for the children against these vaccine mandates and everything that's going on out in Washington State.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. Thanks for having me. So I did. I sought to be appointed to the health board, and I'm now a health board member on our 2-county local health board, which oversees the health district and sets policy for our local health district. And so I did that after showing up for, public meetings and providing really the only public comment, being one of the only members in the audience to even be watching in the first place. And I was shocked that nobody was coming forward and providing the health board information about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines, these COVID vaccines. And so as a result, one thing led to another. I ended up thankfully being appointed to the health board. And then since then, I've been trying to just educate the board on the safety and efficacy concerns with the COVID vaccines and introduce common sense measures so that the board can serve the public well in the terms of public health and also stay out of legal trouble, which is something that I'm concerned about.
Right. So, it's very brave what you did. And I believe you're standing alone. You're the only one in that board group who has any kind of common sense. You had talked about common sense, talking about the vaccine, talking about the injuries. Now, I know that you stand alone. Do you feel as if the other people on this board are beholden to something else, or are they just completely just ignoring the vaccine injury data or anything about the safety of the vaccines? Do you feel as if there's something else at play to keep these people, like, are they getting paid? I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't look at the data that could result in dead children if you make the wrong decision.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I think about, for example, if I were an airline pilot and you could see this board, for example, or you could assume it has the role of an airline pilot, and there's 250, 300 people sitting behind us. We're getting ready for takeoff. And, three, four mechanics, your trusted experts, they come up, they tell you everything's fine with the engine. And maybe some, one of the baggage handlers comes up and says, hey, look, I saw a squirrel crawl in the cowling of that engine back there about 15 minutes ago. There's a minor chance something could go wrong catastrophically. Are you going to launch that aircraft? Or are you going to maybe reevaluate what the lowly baggage handler said as compared to your mechanics? And so really, I'm kind of in that position right now. I'm not a medical expert. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a biomedical scientist. I have a scientific background. I practice science every day. And that causes me to think differently than many other people. I think critically, and I'm not afraid to ask questions. And I view it as my role to be skeptical of information that's presented to me so that people have to prove their position for me to buy in on it. Now, one would think that medical professionals, public officials, and people that are elected to a board of health would have the same type of skepticism and you know, critical thinking built into their mindset, and either they don't, or they're just bamboozled, you know, by the science, so-called, and the scientists, and they're following the so-called science. They bought the narrative. In the case of medical professionals in Washington State and in most states in the union, they have been a bulldog now into it, basically what's called a gag order. The Federation for State Medical Boards issued a statement against what they call, and they determine, to be medical misinformation about the COVID vaccines, and for that matter, the entire suite of COVID response that we've seen. And that has hushed most of your medical professionals. I have come to know many now through this process, and in private, they are confiding to me that they know that these COVID vaccines are harmful, but they can't say anything about it because of the state gag order.
Now, the CDC recently voted in favor of recommending the COVID-19 vaccine for the child schedule. What does Washington State look like they're going to do? Which way are they going to go? I know you have very conservative regions of the state. I know that you are amidst a bunch of other leftists who don't care about the data. But what is your board specifically? Which direction is that going?
Yeah, well, that's going to be determined first at the state level. Mm-hmm. And so at the state board of health level, they previously took this up in the spring, and they were going to make it mandatory, weighing whether to make it mandatory for children, school-age children, back in last spring of 2022. And the public came out overwhelmingly. They received, I believe it was, it was pushing 10,000 public comments. And when they had the Zoom meeting where they were going to make this decision, whether to make the vaccine mandatory for children, they had, somewhere like 7,000-8,000 people on the Zoom meeting. So they received overwhelming pressure from the public. And even in deep blue Washington State, that changed the state board of health's decision. And it changed their outcome when it looked like they were leaning towards making that mandatory. Now that the CDC has come out and recommended it for children, are they going to take another swing at it here in Washington State? My guess would be yes. I mean, Washington can't get enough of this stuff. You got Governor Inslee just gave up his emergency powers on Halloween of 2022, a few days back, after 2.5 years or more of a self-declared state of emergency. I think they like this. I think they're going to go for the golden ring again and go to force vaccinate our children with this experimental vaccine. And that's when we're going to see at the local level, it's never going to be more important than this time that's coming, to take control and to influence those people on the board.
Now, if I understand correctly, they have banned all discussion about the vaccine that goes against the narrative within your board. Is that correct? Now, I mean, I know you've been putting on pressure like, hey, look at this data. Hey, look at this. Look at this injury list. Check out theirs. And now they have moved to actually silence you altogether. Is that correct?
That's essentially correct. There has been overwhelming public comment and outcry by qualified people. I mean, these are retired medical professionals that are coming to public meetings, that are submitting comment, many other lay members of the public coming forward. We have, for example, one pharmacist in our community that has made comment several times at a meeting that retired because she saw what was happening in her major retail store after giving people the vaccine, and she retired early as a result of that due to conscience. And so you have really powerful testimony. You have my testimony that I've provided as a board member. I've leveraged, my position to provide the board with information that is from reputable and defensible sources that indicates the vaccine's not safe and effective the way that we've been sold. And that has really just caused the board to be frustrated. And they moved in the middle of my making a really important point at the last meeting. They moved and then passed a motion to essentially end all unannounced and unapproved discussion of COVID vaccine safety or really even COVID in general.
Wow. And especially, I know you're in there alone, and we want to thank you for doing that. It was very brave. Like I had mentioned before, nobody's going to come and save us. It's up to us. So How can we, people, continue to ignore the injuries, the died suddenly cases? It's all over our Facebooks. It's all over Twitter. People are dying more suddenly, whether it's, you know, and the common denominator happens to be that they are all vaccinated, and we're seeing more and more injuries, cancer rates surging. You know, when you inject a population with an experimental bioweapon, this is what is going to happen. And the funny thing is now they are determined to come after the children. And I want to thank you for standing in the gap for these children, for these parents who don't have a voice and continue to be, as you continue to be their voice. Now, what is the next step? You know, how can we support you? How can people in the state of Washington, in Chelan Douglas County, help put on the pressure? I know bringing awareness to the situation is huge, but what would you recommend people of your district do in order to keep fighting these mandates, these recommendations for children, and to keep children safe? What is your recommendation?
Yeah, I mean, people need to take back local control. It doesn't matter if it's your school board. It doesn't matter if it's your health board or your city council meeting. Health boards were virtually ignored until the pandemic, and then they were ignored through the pandemic. There's been lots of emphasis on the school boards lately, with some of the material that children are being exposed to, and parents are starting to wake up. Well, we need to have the same type of response with your local health board. All 3,200 plus local health boards across the country, they need people weighing in on the very obvious injuries and adverse effects that we're seeing from the COVID vaccines. Not only for the coming potential battle to keep the shots away from school-aged children, as far as a requirement is concerned, but also in terms of other health policy that might be coming down the road that is frankly unconstitutional. So the best way people can help is to get engaged with your local health board out here. The Chelan Douglas Board of Health has a website. You can contact the members and you can weigh in and provide your opinion on what's been going on here locally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to encourage everybody to get involved. Local matters. And, you know, it does come down to the states as far as the CDC's recommendation. You know, that's why it's important to get involved in local politics. And, you know, nobody is disqualified. You know, you said I'm not a doctor. However, you know, I went for this position on the health board because it was important to me, you know, because I needed a voice. And now you have one. And, you know, nobody is disqualified from going after these positions. You know, they'll try to tell you, oh, you have to be this and have this master's degree or, you know, in order to speak to this. No, like, we see it happening every single day. We see the people dying. I have family members who are injured. This is very real. And you stood up and fought. And that is what everybody can do on the state level. Bill Sullivan, thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless.
God bless. Thanks.
I want to tell you about our great friends over at Curibl. Curibl.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Curibl is the family-owned CBD business that grows all of their hemp locally right here in my home state of Minnesota, and then ship it to you wherever you are. Curibl can help you with things like joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, migraine headaches, even allergies. People report positive benefits using CBD dealing with Parkinson's symptoms or their children battling ADHD. Stop with the antipsychotics. Stop with the Ritalin and poisonous neurotoxins in your children. Try CBD. All kinds of different oils, plus 20% off site-wide when you use promo code STEW at Curibl.com.
The boosters are killing millions.
Not a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID, but I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapon sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning,
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
And I never pass up an opportunity when I see a newborn baby. I stop and I drink it in. Because my heart aches to think that seeing a newborn baby may become one of the rarest things. And I want to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But so many people have taken this.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Lauren Witzke, filling in for Stu Peters. So today is filled with heroes. Today's show, you'll find a common theme is that there is nobody coming to save us. We have to save ourselves. Now, we have attorney Bobby Ann Flower Cox. She was on the Stu Peters Show a few weeks ago talking about the historical lawsuit that they won to stop quarantine camps in the state of New York. I can't believe this is America and this is happening here, where we are going to have to stop literal quarantine camps from going up and them locking people in it. Now, they did win the historical lawsuit. However, that is at threat. That could possibly change tomorrow, since Kathy Hochul, the current governor of New York, is trying to appeal the fact that she can't lock people away in a quarantine camp. Now, not only does Hochul want to lock you in a quarantine camp, she refuses to do it to criminals. Over the weekend, she was pressed by the media due to the crime rates in New York that has become too big to ignore.
Hey, but I'm going to interrupt you then. Here's the problem. We don't feel safe. You might be working closely with Mayor Adams. You may have spent a whole lot of money, but I walk into my pharmacy and everything is on lockdown because of shoplifters. I'm not going in the subway. People don't feel safe in this town. So you may have done these things, but right now we're not feeling good. We're worried we could be San Francisco.
So she has no problem letting criminals run free and terrorize the streets of New York, but still wants to lock up the unvaccinated and those who are allegedly sick with COVID-19, quote unquote, virus. The attorney who won this historical lawsuit and is now sounding the alarm on this joins us now. Welcome, Bobby. Thank you so much for coming back on the Stu Peters Show. Now, listen, I know you won this historical lawsuit. Can't believe you're having to fight this in America, but we thank you for standing up and taking a stand against this. Now, what are we looking at tomorrow during this election?
Yes, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here again. So really what's going on here in New York is that voters have a choice tomorrow. It's election day, you know, Tuesday, November 8th. We are really at a point here in New York where voters need to stand up and have their voices heard. Governor Kathy Hochul, as you mentioned, had an illegal, unconstitutional isolation and quarantine regulation that she pushed through her Department of Health. They went completely around the New York State Legislature and they took a power from the legislature that they didn't have the right to take. Governor Hochul cannot make law. Her Department of Health cannot make law, and they made law. They completely bypassed the legislature. There was no vote. And what did they do? They pushed it through the Department of Health and forced it upon 19 million New Yorkers. Now, as you mentioned, I did get that struck down back in July. The court did rule in our favor, and he deemed that regulation unconstitutional. He struck it down. He barred them from enforcing it. So the governor and the Department of Health are not allowed to try to enforce that regulation. However, Attorney General Letitia James, who's also up for election tomorrow, has already filed a notice of appeal on this case, which means they intend to appeal the case and try to overturn this decision. And of course, they're going to be using New Yorkers' tax dollars to do that. So, you know, when people go to the polls tomorrow to vote, they need to know what's going on. They need to know that Kathy Hochul wants the power to put you into a quarantine facility with no proof that you're sick, no proof that you were even exposed to a communicable disease. And she could keep you there for however long she wants, that the Department of Health can issue an order whenever they want. It doesn't have to be an emergency. And they don't have to prove you're sick. They can keep you there for days or months, no restriction whatsoever in that regulation. And they can also do this to anybody they want, meaning they could take your child or your grandchild or you or your elderly parent or your elderly grandparent. There was no restriction on age in that regulation. And once you got into quarantine, according to the regulation, there was no way for you to get out. So when we were having oral arguments in front of the judge asked the Attorney General's office, he said, if you take a family and you put them into quarantine because you think they have a disease, how do they get out? So the response from the response from the Assistant Attorney General was, well, you know, I guess they could hire a lawyer and they could sue.
So they could lock them there as long as they want. There was no guidelines on even how long they could keep them. And they'd have to hire a lawyer, spend thousands and thousands of dollars in order to achieve their own freedom for some constitutional violation in the first place. It's absolutely remarkable. You know, I know that crime rates are through the roof in New York as well. And I find it very funny that they are going after law-abiding citizens. New York, for example, was responsible for locking the elderly in these nursing homes with other COVID patients. You know, they love locking up the law-abiding citizens, but they just let criminals run free in the state of New York. I know law and order is a huge issue there. However, you know, the people in charge, well, for now, are the ones violating the law. Now, what else happened during that court hearing? How did they defend locking up people for an indefinite amount of time? How do you even defend that?
Yeah, it was pretty shocking. The response from the Attorney General's office was basically that, you know, the governor and the Department of Health need total power over 19 million New Yorkers. You know, with just the stroke of their pen, they need to be able to lock people up in their homes or remove them from their homes and throw them into detention facilities because, you know, they just need this power. It's all in the good of public health and safety, right? This was their mantra during the whole lawsuit. Well, this is for the good of the people. This is so we can be safe and healthy and not hurt each other, you know, with communicable diseases. But, you know, the problem that they're having here is that when the executive branch, in this case, the governor and her Department of Health, take a power that's supposed to be a power of the legislative branch, and they take it for themselves, that's tyranny, right? That's completely unconstitutional. Yes. The executive branch can't take the power of the legislature.
No.
And so that's why in this lawsuit, how I structured it was that I'm representing a group of New York State legislators, Senator George Borrello, Assemblyman Chris Teague, Assemblyman Mike Lawler, together with a citizens group called Uniting New York State. And as the plaintiffs, the argument has been, well, the governor doesn't have this power. This is a power that's reserved for the legislators in the New York State Senate and the New York State Assembly. So ultimately, the judge ruled in our favor and said, yes, that is correct. what the governor and her Department of Health did here was they took the power from the legislature. They made a law when they're not allowed to make law, right? The executive branch is supposed to enforce laws, not make laws. And that's why he struck it down. He said, you don't have this power. You can't do this. We already have a law in New York State. We've had it for 70 years, which says very clearly, this is what to do if there is someone who's a public health threat and you want to isolate or quarantine them. It's section 2120 of the public health law here in New York State. But that law has many due process protections built into it so that the government can't abuse its power and hurt the citizens. And the number one thing that that law says is you have to first prove the person has the communicable disease, right? You can't just assume maybe they have it, maybe they were exposed. That's not the way it works. That is not due process. So that law, section 2120 of the public health law, was again on the books for 20 years. And then Governor Hochul comes along with her Department of Health and they make a regulation that completely conflicts with that law. Their regulation had no due process protections to protect the citizens from government overreach and government abuse. So that the judge struck it down. He said, no, you can't make a regulation that conflicts with existing law, because then what are you doing? Then you're telling the world that the executive branch is more powerful than the legislative branch, right? If the executive branch can just make regulations that override laws that are made by the legislature, then we no longer have separation of powers. We no longer have three equal branches of government, which is what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have the judicial branch, which is the courts and the judges. Then we're supposed to have the executive branch, which in this case would be Governor Hochul and the Department of Health. And then we're supposed to have the legislature, the legislative branch, which is made up of senators and assembly members. So they breached that constitutional separation of powers, and that's why it was struck down. And you know what? We're seeing this in many areas. I mean, you know, Governor Hochul's not just doing this with isolation and quarantine procedures. She's doing this across the board. You know, she's got illegal masking requirements. She doesn't have the power to force people to wear masks. And now we're understanding that if she does get reelected on November 8th, that she's planning to have the legislature pass a law that says that they would require all the children in New York State to get the COVID-19 shot in order to attend school. She absolutely is in favor of that. She's come out in favor of that. And there are two other bills that are also pending right now in the New York State legislature, which Governor Hochul completely supports. One of them would require New York schools to teach sex education starting in kindergarten and going straight through 12th grade. And then the other one would basically abolish parental rights and allow minor children to decide what kind of medical procedures they want to get, and the parents would have no say.
Yeah, it's a dangerous time to be a parent in New York. We had talked about this before, where the CDC, they voted in favor of recommending the COVID-19 vaccine for children on the child schedule, knowing that states like New York and California, this could potentially mean a child genocide. Have they even looked at the VAERS data? Have they even looked at the clinical trials where people like Maddie DeGuire ended up in, she was in the Pfizer clinical trial. She was a young girl. She ended up on a feeding tube and in a wheelchair. You know, it's like they just completely ignore, the facts right in front of them, what they're seeing, and are going to be responsible for, it's going to be a genocide. You know, this vaccine is not good for children. It is actually not good for anybody. It's injured more people than any other vaccine in United States history, and they still keep it on the market, but they just don't care. It seems like, you know, locking up people in a quarantine camp with no way to get out, they just don't care. And it's just unreal to me how outrageous they have become. Now, I know you were able to beat the state of New York, Hochul, for this particular quarantine camp bill that she tried to push through. But question, is there a way that she could try and do a loophole to reinstate it and do it another way? Maybe go through the legislature this time. Is that her intention?
Well, so it's really going to depend upon what the elections look, the turnout is tomorrow, and what the results are from the election. Because right now in New York State, the Democrats have a supermajority in both the New York State Senate and the New York State Assembly. So with a supermajority in both of those houses, if Governor Hochul wins this election, that means that the Democrats will continue to have complete and utter control in New York State. And I think we've seen over the last couple of years how bad that has, you know, to have one party rule. Any, you know, one party rule is really bad for the citizens, because the idea is then, well, we don't really care what the citizens want or the citizens need, because we have all of this power in our one party. So one party rule is really dangerous. So it's going to depend how the down ballot voting goes tomorrow. You know, who's winning these Senate seats in New York State? Who's winning the assembly seats in New York State? You know, can the Republicans break the supermajority in the New York State Senate and or in the New York State Assembly? And then, of course, does Lee Zeldin win as governor, or does Kathy Hochul win as governor? It's also going to depend upon who wins the attorney general race, because right now our attorney general here in New York is Letitia James. She has completely proven that she is not somebody that's going to abide by the Constitution and uphold the rule of law. She's, as I said, she's already filed a notice of appeal on my quarantine case. So, you know, she's running against Michael Henry here in New York State for attorney general. So it's gonna, that's a very important race too. It's going to depend on whether or not, you know, Michael Henry wins, or does Letitia James be, you know, is she going to be our attorney general for another 4 years? Those are really important races, in addition to obviously the race for governor as well.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, tomorrow is a very important election, and that is how you take your state back. You know, you have to show up to vote. They won't win unless you show up to vote. A lot of people are worried about their vote mattering or it counting or a fair election, with good reason. However, you know, if we just lay down and die and don't show up, we're just handing them over the victory. Now, you had mentioned Lee Zeldin. Has he committed to protecting the children against the CDC recommendation for the COVID-19 vaccine? Can we count on him to stand firm in that and not take away parental rights to choose what medical procedure their children are getting?
Yes. So Lee Zeldin has come out publicly. He's stated on his website, he's stated on social media, he's stated in actual, you know, conversations with people, press conferences he's had, and even the debate last week between Hochul and Zeldin. He has come out and said that he is against mandating anything medical. The COVID shot, he would not mandate, whether it's on adults or on children. In fact, he has stated that he believes that the healthcare workers in New York who have been fired because they didn't get the COVID-19 shot, he has stated that he would support those people being rehired. And he also has come out and said that he is against those bills of, you know, taking away parental rights, and parents not having a say in medical procedures that their children are having. He is against that. He's against sexual education starting in kindergarten. So if those bills are circulating as they are in the New York State Legislature right now, he has said that if he is governor, you know, tomorrow's, again, election day, November 8th, if people get out there and vote for him tomorrow, he has said that he would not support those bills. It's really important that people understand these topics before they go and vote, especially parents, because there's a lot of parental rights attacks going on right now in New York State. And, you know, this quarantine procedures regulation that I got struck down, you know, this is a perfect example of when the governor, particularly Governor Hochul, wants to do something that the people don't want, and the New York State Legislature doesn't, you know, a tyrannical governor will just take that power anyway. And what I mean by that is the New York State Legislature did have a bill for 7 years that was proposed by an assemblyman who's now no longer an assemblyman, but Nick Perry was an assemblyman. And for 7 years, from 2015 through 2021, he proposed a bill that was very similar to that quarantine regulation that I got struck down. And you know what? Not one New York State legislator got behind that bill. He was the only person out of 213 members of the legislature who would actually propose and support that bill. Nobody else stepped up to support it. The citizens obviously didn't want it. The members of the legislature didn't want it. What did the governor do? Hochul takes the language, she tweaks it a little bit, and she pushes it through her Department of Health and makes it a regulation. So, you know, these are the types of things we're seeing here, and so important that New Yorkers know this before they go to the polls tomorrow.
It is true. Your vote is your voice. It's insane to me how far left they've gone, how radical they've gone on policy that now even medical freedom, standing up for medical freedom, not teaching sex ed to little toddlers and infants, little children, has become a controversial issue. You know, we're just normal. That's the thing. This should be the standard, is to protect little children from sexual deviancy, protect them from experimental clinical trials that are being rolled out on the population, and give parents a right to choose what is best for their children. These are not controversial issues. This should be the standard. And, you know, it's just crazy to me how it's become, they've gotten so radical on policy that even normal has become, they label us far right, conspiracy theorists, extremists. No, this is how it should be. Parents should have the right to decide for their children what is best for them. You know, they try to dissolve the importance of parents. You know, they send kids to public school and then the teachers end up raising the children, and they raise them in a way where they don't even know what gender they are. It's disturbing. You know, it seems that they do come after the children. So when you show up to vote tomorrow, vote like your children's lives depend on it, because they do. And, you know, we support you here. We thank you for everything you're doing out in New York, fighting for these people. We have a lot of good people in New York, a lot of people that lost everything due to these unconstitutional mandates, crimes against humanity. Bobby, any way we can support you, or any last words before you go?
Yes, you know what? If people want to get more information about the quarantine camp lawsuit, there is a website specifically about the case. You can either go to my website, which is coxlawyers.com, or people can go to unitingnys.com/lawsuit. And there's a lot of information there about the lawsuit. You can read the judge's decision striking down the regulation. We have videos on that page. There are photographs from our press conference when we launched the lawsuit back in the spring. There's a lot of good information there. And I also write a Substack every week, which talks not just about the quarantine regulation and the lawsuit and such, but it talks about things like those horrifically unconstitutional and appalling bills that are sitting right now in the New York State Legislature. The one about the K-12 sex education being required, and then the one about the abolition of parental rights and minors allowed to make their own medical decisions. I write on topics like that each week in my Substack. So if people do want to get in on that, my Substack is attorneycox.substack.com. So I hope people will get involved. So important to vote. Please, no matter where you are, whether it's New York or any other state in the nation, please vote, because it is so important that our voices are heard.
Yes, tomorrow is a very important day, and we will be praying for you, and we will be praying for a good outcome for New York. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm also going to link her Substack in the description below, so make sure you check it out and continue to follow her and her fight. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
I want to talk to you about my great friends over at Gold Co. You've been hearing me talk about Gold Co. a lot, and they are doing amazing things for the public. I'm getting emails all over the place as people are protecting themselves from this hyperinflation and these tax hikes and this criminal government theft and hundreds of billions of dollars being stolen so it can be sent over to Ukraine and funding the mandates and the bioweapon injections. We're funding our own demise. Plus, they're going to reset the financial system to zero. Everything that you've worked hard for is going to be gone. Protect yourself with gold and silver. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD. 855-706-GOLD. When you do, you'll get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. Make sure to mention Stu Peters when you call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.
This past weekend, some very interesting things happened. We're going to do a weekend wrap-up session for you today between Donald Trump hitting Ron DeSantis, calling him Ron DeSanctimonious. Aaron Carter also dropped dead at the age of 34, found in his bathtub. And we can't forget the another die suddenly case. NASCAR father Coy Gibbs passed away at the age of 49 years old over the weekend. More developments with Paul Pelosi and the alleged break-in that happened. Here to discuss is Deanna Lorraine. Hey, Deanna, thanks for joining us today. So this was a crazy weekend.
Hey, Stu, good to be here.
Oh, we love having you here. Listen, you can find Deanna on Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Stu Peters Network on Shots Fired. I highly recommend you watch her show. It's a fantastic show. Okay, Deanna, first things first, let's talk about Aaron Carter. You and I grew up during the good times when Aaron Carter music was all the rage. I was really sad to see that he had passed away. His death was very bizarre. It was bizarre because the last tweet he sent out to Kanye West was asking to speak with him man to man. Now, do you think that we have a drug overdose situation, or do we have a possible Epstein situation, or what do you think happened here?
Well, that's the thing. I, of course, as soon as I heard that he died suddenly and in his bathtub and he's young, I'm thinking this is a vaccine died suddenly, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't want to be so quick, and most of the time it is. But with him specifically, I researched more, and he was apparently actually against the vaccine. At least at one point he was talking about he didn't want to get the vaccine, and he was apparently kicked off a tour because he chose not to get the vaccine. Then we see the quotes, the tweet from Kanye saying, hey, yay, let's talk man to man. It makes me think there's more to this. And then also, let's not forget, he was a drug addict. He was off and on drugs, and he had mental issues as well, battling with schizophrenia and stuff. So I'm not going to be so quick to necessarily blame it on the jab, although it is possible, especially him being so young and being a star. But it also is possible because it seems like people who talk to Kanye or who kind of have information like that, who would go against the grain, which it seemed kind of like Aaron Carter was going against the New World Order type grain, they get suicided all of a sudden. Right. And he's just in a bathtub dead. I'm kind of leaning more on that way, on that side of the scale. I don't know. What about you, Lauren?
It was bizarre timing. It was bizarre timing, certainly. And he had struggled with addiction for years and years. So it wasn't like he just picked up the habit and overdosed. He obviously managed this addiction for quite some time. And I think it's super suspicious. Maybe somebody saw the tweet, sold him a bad batch of drugs that killed him, you know, laced with fentanyl. Yeah. It could be as simple as that. However, you know, Aaron Carter was somebody who in the industry had mentioned, he had raised concerns about how the industry was ran. He had raised concerns about things, you know, not only business practices, however, that there was sexual deviancy, there was rape, that kind of thing. And maybe that Kanye, Aaron Carter collusion was something that they did not want. And it could be as simple as they sold him a bad batch of drugs that shut down his heart. You know, I wouldn't put it past them.
I mean, there's be nothing worse than, I mean, they're trying to shut Kanye up at all costs. So with him partnering up with someone else who's not afraid of the music industry in Hollywood and willing to disclose what's really going on, that would be a bad duo, secrets of which they would not want to get out. Anthony Bourdain. I mean, like, think about all the other people that this has happened to under suspicious circumstances.
Right. Well, they can't kill them all, that's for sure. I hope more people come forward. So there were some new developments with the Paul Pelosi instance this past weekend. What are we looking at here? The whole thing was suspect, but I know that there was a media hit that was taken down after reporting that Paul Pelosi opened the door for officers and turned around and walked back into the house.
Yeah, and I just want to, before we go there, I want to also say that that Coy Giggs, he was the big NASCAR guy, NASCAR father, and his son Ty Gibbs had just won the big NASCAR Xfinity Championship. He died suddenly, 49 years old, in his sleep, and that most likely was a jab, died suddenly. Not confirmed, but most likely was. Now let's move on to Paul Pelosi.
It's true.
Yeah, so NBC ran some stories on Friday that basically said that, yeah, Paul Pelosi knew the attacker, and he admitted to knowing the attacker, and that he admitted to the police that he didn't feel like he was in danger. The attacker apparently even let him go to the bathroom before he supposedly attacked him with these two hammers while they were both naked and wrestling for the cops to happen to walk in on this moment. And then afterwards, they said that, oh, NBC redacted the story because it fueled conspiracy theories and this was not up to their journalistic standards. But we all know when they call something a conspiracy theory, it means they're right on the target and it actually is true. And yes, most likely these were the actual facts of the case. And then they didn't like it because it goes against the official narrative that Paul Pelosi and this guy didn't know each other and it was a violent attack from a QAnon MAGA nut job. So no, they're going to have to redact it. And I think that's the biggest ounce of truth that we've actually seen, is the fact that they called that NBC article a conspiracy theory.
It's unbelievable. Just the fact-based reporting, you know, journalists can't actually do their job anymore. It's not allowed because if it damages a Democrat or a leftist, it has to be taken down and they have to blame MAGA or conservatives as terrorists. You know, I didn't hear this kind of public outrage when Justice Kavanaugh and his life was threatened. But, you know, now that it's Paul Pelosi and it's looking like it's not what it seems, it really appears to be a very suspect situation that happened there.
Well, let's be honest. This is a Jussie Smollett 2.0. You know, first, it's the Pelosis. The Pelosis are the masters of the wrap-up smear and the master manipulators and liars. Secondly, it's right before a major election. And thirdly, they instantly blame it on a MAGA QAnon nut job. And fourth, it's Paul Pelosi has been known to be gay. They were wrestling in their underwear. The whole thing read like a really bad gay romance novel, if you actually read what they said, what happened, the word for word verbatim script that happened. It's so unbelievably fake and it's sloppy. They're not even trying to make it sound plausible.
No, I think it's obvious that they're mocking us at this point. You know, we may very well have an Ed Buck situation, the Democrat mega donor who actually is linked to Nancy Pelosi, where multiple young men were found dead in his home. And it appears that those people are birds of a feather. They have a tendency to flock together. Now, I wanted to mention one more thing. This past weekend, Trump finally did it. He hit Ron DeSantis, called him Ron DeSanctimonious. We have about 1 minute left, Deanna. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, really, really bad. That was a very stupid thing that he did. And I'm not alone in this. I looked at all the social media comments and I would say about 98% of MAGA world said that was dumb. It was not right. We need to show a united front right now. And you do not bash the most popular conservative governor in history, probably, 2 days before a major election that we absolutely need to win in a state that we 100% need to keep as Ron DeSantis as the governor. It was dumb. Most of MAGA world agreed with it. That was Trump's ego talking or whatever pettiness that was. And he needs to backtrack. I'm glad he sort of backtracked on it at his rally last night. He needs to never do that again and show a united front if he wants to keep his base.
Well, allegedly, DeSantis has been working with McCarthy, and they've been planning a 2024 run, allegedly. He has, Ron DeSantis has a $200,000 war chest, or $200 million war chest. It's looking like it's going to be a Trump-DeSantis fight come 2024. So I expect we'll see a lot more of this from Donald Trump. I mean, it's Donald Trump. Yeah. You think he's just going to lay down and take it? Absolutely not. Well, Deanna, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you to the Stu crew for bearing with me again, and we'll catch you all tomorrow.
You really have to know the importance of maintaining the correct amount and the appropriate types of magnesium in your body. It literally controls most of the way that your body functions. Your overall health is incredibly dependent on the amount of magnesium and what types of magnesium are in your body. 75% of Americans have no idea that they're suffering from a magnesium deficiency, and it leads to death. Early graves is what it leads to. Sleepless nights, low mood, depression, anxiety, stress, all contributing factors to putting you in a coffin and 6 feet under. Don't do it. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Read about how Magnesium Breakthrough has exactly the right types and exactly the correct amounts of magnesium in one pill that you take once a day with your evening meal. You will never have slept better in your life. The rest that you will get, no more tossing around. Sleeplessness is a huge problem in America. Stress and anxiety, prevalent. Hello, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Go there, please. I'm begging you. I want you to live a long life. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat, or they're going to get acne or oily skin, or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com.
Why? Why do we never believe them?
These people know. These people know.
Who knows?
The governments know. This has been well planned. This is Agenda 2030. This is the Great Reset.
Somebody mentioned to go onto Google and go into the news section and then type in died suddenly. And lo and behold, here's a whole listing of people, of articles, of people within that last week who died suddenly. Older people, but a lot of younger people throughout around the world.
And then you find out they were vaccinated. And so it's like, okay, so it's the vaccine might be causing this.
Most people don't want to know what's in the vaccines.
But yet when we open it almost 2 years into this, we find that it still says intentionally blank.
In fact, nobody wants to know what's in the vaccines because, look, if people understood what was in the vaccine, they'd go apeshit.
It's just there's something different about the blood. Something's causing this, and something needs to be said. Somebody needs to look into it. I talked to other embalmers that have 30, 40, even 50 years of experience. Have you guys ever seen this stuff before? And the answer was always, I've never seen anything like it.
Why is Bill Gates involved in public health? And why does public health spend the first part telling you how the world is overpopulating?
And at first glance, this is a bit scary.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds.
That's a 12 sigma event, one in 800 years, 12 standard deviations above the mean.
No one's even calculated that. It's apocalyptic.
I thought he was protected with that Pfizer.
There's a huge part of me that feels a responsibility for everything that's happened. I'm so sorry.
The doctor, after a while, came out and said, your son's dead, you can go home now.
Who knows? Young people are dying these days.
I said to Mr. Hirschman, this is different, this isn't normal. Is it? And he said, absolutely not.
The dead can't speak for themselves, so therefore, I have to speak for them.
We're connecting dots here. You know, there's no way that that type of obstruction would not cause stroke, heart failure.
My sister died. She was 58, and she died suddenly on Friday of a heart attack.
They will do with you what they feel like doing to you. It's the new bullet. It's the new missile. It's the new form of warfare.
I wanted people to understand that we're in a fifth generation warfare for the heart and the mind.
This is the greatest orchestrated die-off in the history of the world.
There's most definitely evil in this world, and evil like we could not possibly imagine.